Today on Seculo, a bombshell Inspector General report exposes January 6th.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You dangerous conspiracy theorist, you, right? Because you believed, hey, the FBI, what kind of role did they play in January 6th? Listen, we wouldn't bring this topic up on this show if we didn't think this news was groundbreaking and really does, again, make sense now to go back to the past to do new research, obviously get Kash Patel in at the FBI to really understand what the FBI was doing on January 6th. Because all we had heard before the newest report is that, of course, when you've got a large event and you've got the President of the United States involved in Washington, D.C., there's going to be ununiformed FBI within the crowd, just like there would be other security events and concerts you even go to where there's police that are out of uniform as well, trying to make sure that the crowd is safe. But when you're using confidential informants, those are typically people, those are not staff, payrolled FBI agents. They are paid for the work that they do. They are independent contractors, if you want to think about it that way. And many of them became confidential informants to the FBI because they were caught by the FBI in some kind of criminal conduct and offered the opportunity to turn, provide information, and thus not go to jail. So we know the FBI at least sent three of those people not to watch over against security, basically, like their FBI agents would in the crowd, but that they sent three people to be part of January 6th to try and get information on the groups. Now, we know the FBI was told, hey, things could get pretty wild here. We know Washington, D.C. knew that. Everyone knew it, and they wouldn't call in the correct authorities. And remember, that authority lied with Speaker Pelosi. But remember, just a week ago, as Vice President-elect J.D. Vance pointed out, a theory that the FBI could have been involved in an active way in any of the events on January 6th that involved illegal activity. For instance, these informants, were they near Ashley Babbitt? Could they have been one of those informants, those 23 that weren't even asked directly to be there, but thought they could make some money by being there and giving information to the FBI? They were texting them real-time info. Could one of them been in that crowd, in that section, and encouraged extra violence? Could they be in the ear of someone and says, you know, smash that police officer, you know, let's attack? And then you've got people who, yes, were about to or were engaged in illegal conduct of trespassing. And of course, you have those who took the next step and got into physical confrontations with police. That is a crime. But we do always want to know, how in these situations does it appear that our government knows about the problem, but won't prepare for the problem, and then we learn was inside the problem. So you had three confidential informants sent by the FBI, but the Inspector General has now found of the FBI that 23 others were there and providing information. Will, to me, what this does is to everybody out there who's been labeled a conspiracy theorist, whose content has been stopped from being shared on social media outlets, I mean, whether it's Russia, whether it's the laptop, or whether it's the actual activity on January 6th, if you question that activity, you were treated like Marcus Allen if you were in the FBI. So you were completely not fired, but you were placed on administrative unpaid leave. And so you were stuck. But now these aren't just conspiracy theories. These are facts. Let's take your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I will tell you this, folks. Yesterday, if you would have asked me before this story, do I want to relitigate and have more congressional hearings on January 6th? The answer would be no. And maybe we don't need those. Maybe we just need Kash Patel as Attorney General that oversees the FBI to make sure as FBI Director, and Pam Bondi as Attorney General, to make sure they are confirmed so they can get to the bottom of it with the information they have. Support the work of the ACLJ. A lot to do. Donate now. Your impact is doubled at ACLJ.org. lot to talk about. If the phone lines, by the way, we're having trouble with them. So if you dialed in and couldn't get through, you can get in now at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So I want to go Rick Rennell right on this. Rick, you're former acting director of national intelligence. You've been ambassador to Germany. You find out now that if we had said statements like this last week on many social media platforms, they would not have been served. We might have even been warned or taken down. I mean, that's to the point this was. It was considered dangerous if you even discussed this. Now it's a headline as truth that we know that the FBI had 26 informants at the January 6th Capitol riots. And the way that Christopher Wray walked Congress away from whether or not the FBI was on the ground in a bigger way than they had previously admitted to is that he would say, no, I'm only talking about our agents that are on the ground and not these informants, which are really like independent contractors or former criminals who were people who were caught and turned. And again, just a week ago, Rick, we would have been called literally dangerous for even asserting that we should look at what role they had to play in this.
So frustrating because Washington is just so corrupt. Christopher Wray had multiple chances in front of Congress to come clean on this issue. I don't understand why transparency in Washington is so difficult. People act like if there are mistakes or the public learns information that somehow, you know, that there's going to be chaos. I actually think the public wants transparency because they want to be able to be a part of the conversation about how to make our government better. They certainly know that mistakes are made, but why we cover up so much when there's a PR issue is beyond me. These people need to be fired. Chris Wray needs to leave in shame. He knew this information. He had ample opportunities to share this information and to come clean. He chose to evade the public. And now we're finding out, as he's basically out the door, that he has been less than transparent. I would argue lying about these issues to the public for years. And if anything is pointing to the fact that we need Kash Patel at the FBI, it's this story. We need transparency, and Kash will demand transparency for the American people, not for the bureaucracies in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I mean, Rick, this gets to that point of if we are going to clean up Washington, you want your attorney general and your FBI director to go in and be able to focus on their number one job as attorney general, enforcing those laws, as FBI director, getting the bad guys. But that secondary focus, and it is right up there up top, is that really to get job number one done, we have to get job number two done, which is cleaning this up. Because the first job can't be fully done. We can't be fully operational when we have these kind of problems deep inside these law enforcement and intelligence bureaucracies.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I think the public is watching this and just saying, how is this happening? Why were we duped yet again by our intelligence agencies? And these are agencies that really have an extra responsibility to protect the truth and to be transparent, because they are the individual agencies that get access to information, explosive information, information that can be very damaging to people. And when there's a question from the public about what the real story is, they have to be the first ones to come clean and to talk about what the real situation is. I'll give you another example, Jordan, is we don't know what's happening with these drones all over. Now there's a report that some of the drones are at Ramstein Air Base in Germany. We know they're in New Jersey and along the East Coast. What are they? And it's not acceptable for the White House or the NSC or the intelligence communities just to say, don't worry about that. Now, we are worried about that. We want to know. And they have a responsibility to come clean. We've talked about this before. Where's Avril Haines, the director of national intelligence? Why isn't she becoming accessible? Why don't we know what's going on? And the same with Chris Wray.
Rick, I wanted to bring this up as well, because as we look at these issues, the politics of the FBI and the DOJ just become more and more apparent every day. And we've been saying this for 4 years, But now at the end, all like these document dumps, if you will, are coming out that show how bad things are. And I wanted to play this for the audience and for you as well, because instead of focusing on keeping America safe, the drone issue that you mentioned, the border issue, all of the things that are harming America right now, you have something like this where it demands more questions than we have answers for right now. But at the National Academy graduation of the FBI yesterday, so the National Academy being a program that local law enforcement or international law enforcement can send individuals to get FBI training, and they get a diploma. And yesterday, the day after Chris Wray announced his retirement or resignation at the end of the term, he goes to hand out diplomas to the people graduating this program. It's the 292nd Academy that they've done. And this very curious statement from the MC makes us wonder what else is going on in this executive branch and what sort of policy maneuvers and changes that haven't necessarily been announced are happening. Let's play bite two from this graduation ceremony, and you'll see Christopher Wray handing the diploma to one of these graduates.
Hassam Abu Aisha, Preventative Security Organization, Ramallah, State of Palestine.
So in this clip, and I want to get your reaction, Rick, this is an individual from the security services of the Palestinian Authority in Judea and Samaria, or the West Bank, and they refer to it not as Palestinian territories or anything of that nature, but the Federal Bureau of Investigation apparently is taking the line that this is the state of Palestine, even though we don't recognize it as that.
Yeah, look, this is the problem of the bureaucracy in Washington and the power of the bureaucrats. They take issues and they just decide that they're going to make policy. And that's what we have to dial back. We cannot have bureaucrats making policy. They have to follow the lead of the president of the United States, who's duly elected by the president, by the American people. We hear a lot about, you know, the rule of law, and the rule of law is that bureaucrats shouldn't be deciding to change U.S. policy. And what this announcer did just now is completely change the policy of how we recognize the Palestinian territories. This is a dispute. It would have been fine to introduce this individual just from Ramallah. You could have said the Palestinian territories, but to create a place that the U.S. government has not recognized just creates problems. This clip has gone viral. People are very upset that they're making this policy. It's going to be used now to kind of push forward the issue and the definition. And this is a definition that needs to be done by U.S. officials, by policymakers who are duly elected, whether it's Congress, whether it's the president of the United States, to make these policies. But for a bureaucrat and an announcer who's very comfortable, and that's the other thing, is how comfortable are you to completely create a new state and to change policy all from the microphone at the FBI? You got a big ego if you can think that you can get away with this.
Yeah, I mean, Rick, I think it points to the issue as we started with, that inside these agencies, like you said, they're very comfortable in doing things they know they shouldn't necessarily be doing, whether it's claiming there's this state of Palestine recognized by the U.S. government. As you said, it was done smoothly. No one said, wait, this doesn't sound right. Maybe check this. That didn't happen at all. And it just underscores, I mean, when you say you've got to go through every layer of the bureaucracy, you have to go down to the layer of the person, you know, who's behind the door making the announcements at a ceremony.
But, you know, I talk about this, I've said this before, but the joke's on the rest of us who live outside of Washington, because these people in Washington are really comfortable with just creating policy and using our tax dollars to do it and ignoring us. And they're buttressed by the fact that the media support them, their fellow bureaucrats support them, the lobbyists in Washington, D.C., everybody who lives in Washington literally protects each other. It's this big, huge city that protects itself And the joke is on us because they don't want to change. They don't want to give up their power. They want to wait out Donald Trump for 4 years. We, the rest of the American people, have to demand change. We can't expect these people in Washington, D.C. to do their own change because they love the way that it is and they love the power that they have.
Rick, as always, we appreciate your insight. Folks, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We filed a major lawsuit against Massachusetts, and today is their deadline to respond in court. This is on their attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers. We've got more to talk about there as well coming up in the second half hour of the broadcast. Donate today. Your gift will be doubled at ACLJ.org. Again, to find out more about that program, you can go to ACLJ.org/savebabies. And we're going to talk about that more second half hour of the broadcast. But your support today is critical. We talk about these confirmations. We talk about clearing out the bureaucracy. ACLJ.org. All right, welcome back to Secular. We are joined by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, I have a lot to talk about in the Middle East. I want to go specifically to Israel and Iran and Prime Minister Netanyahu. It's always unique when there's a video issued in English with a Farsi translation, so really speaking directly to the people of Iran and the English-speaking world as well, where he called on the people of Iran to be free and to take advantage of the situation where they see the proxies falling, whether it's Syria, whether it's Hamas, and these leadership in Hezbollah, that after these proxies fall, that you have a chance and an opportunity to do something to be free once again in Iran. Do you think I think the Israelis see, and the America likely sees, the strategic opportunity. What's the best way of action first off? Is it to do what like Prime Minister Netanyahu is doing and kind of encouraging the people who have done it before at great risk and loss of life to take to the streets?
Jordan, we've always known that the Iranian people deserve freedom in the same way that people all across the world do. We've also known the enormous power of the regime inside of Iran, its capacity. They call it the Basij, its internal police force. We've always known its capability to just tamp down any riots or protests. Things are fundamentally different today than they were just a year ago. Iran is weaker. Sadly, it still has more money. The Biden administration has given them billions of dollars, so it still has resources and wealth. But make no mistake, their external terror proxies have now been diminished. And so I think what you saw Prime Minister Netanyahu do was the same thing that President Trump did for 4 years, was talk directly to the Iranian people, tell them that we're not against you. When we sanction Iran, it's not to hurt you. When we punish Iran, it's not to hurt you. It's to help you create the path towards you throwing off the yoke of this theocratic thug, the Ayatollah. And so I do think that the best strategy is to provide all the support that we can for the Iranian people in a way that in 2009, when President Obama had a chance to do that, the last time there was really an opportunity for the people for Iran to arise, he refused to support them. And I hope that the Israelis will continue to do that. I hope the Gulf Arab states, who know it's in their best interest if there's a change in leadership in Iran, and the American people will continue to support the Iranians in their efforts to change the nature of that regime.
We know. And so many times before they've been burned. People have been burned there. And I think they will want to probably likely wait to see the next administration in to know if the U.S. will have their back, if they're going to take to the streets and at that great risk. You talk about the Free Iran movement really being the last time we saw it reach that threshold. And the signs were in English, just like Prime Minister Netanyahu's message, trying to call out for the United States and Western world support to help free the people of Iran. And there was basically silence in the Western world's governments. That wasn't the case under the Trump administration, though. Again, because they've been built up once again, you have to take them back down, I guess, we're in their economy especially. But we also have seen, we talked about Syria and the difficulty in kind of knowing where that leadership is going to be and whether it's going to look more like an Islamic state and another caliphate, or do these groups unravel and become almost like a failed state? We just don't know yet. Maybe it surprises us. We hope it does. Because of that action, Israel and the United States have been able to take out almost all of Syria's air capabilities. That makes it a lot easier for Israel to attack Iranian nuclear sites much easier. It's a totally different path when one of the nations you had to fly over was armed by the nation with those nuclear facilities to make sure it was more difficult to get to.
There's no doubt about that. There is no doubt that there is much more room to maneuver, a much weaker set of air defenses, a much less capable, and we shouldn't forget this, command and control structure. Many of the senior strategic and military leaders of Iran are no longer there and capable of actually responding to a direct attack on these nuclear sites. And we should never forget all the covert capabilities. We saw it with the pagers in Lebanon. One should surmise that that's not the only action that has been prepared and laid down in anticipation of this one moment, this chance where there is really a pathway to reduce this nuclear threat to the world, especially to Israel and the United States. What is required is certainly Israel's determination to do that. I think you can see they're beginning to think their way through how to achieve it, but they're going to need the United States. They're going to need to know at the very least that the United States will, as we talked about earlier with the people of Iran, the United States will have their back, that will be serious about providing them the tools, the infrastructure that they need to actually carry out a strike which will degrade the Iranian nuclear program. But to your point, all the work that's been done, frankly, in the face of American resistance, America saying, don't do it, all the work that's been done has created a pathway where, for once, there is a method to achieving this risk reduction from an Iranian potential nuclear weapons program.
Mr. Secretary, I know it can't be lost on you that all of the great accomplishments of the first Trump administration and with you as Secretary of State, the Abraham Accords, seeing relative quiet in the Middle East, putting down ISIS during that time, and then this interim period of 4 years, all of the negative news items, if you want to put it even just lightly, that have come out of that region. And now, all of a sudden, since November 5th, you see positive things ramping up in the direction that could lead to more peace and more destruction of the enemies of the United States and Western ideology, Western civilization. It's kind of a gotcha question, I guess, but there's no coincidence here that we're seeing all these things moving at this time, is there?
Oh, goodness, no. It's not remotely coincidental. It's also not coincidental or accidental to see the transition from the four Trump years to the four Biden years, right? The reason that the Middle East became on fire, the reason that risk was created was because America walked away from its central role. Not a role of putting thousands of soldiers on the ground in the region, but a role of a leadership, understanding who the bad guys are, where moral clarity is, right? Secretary Blinken is prepared to recognize this new guy in Syria. I'm not sure I'd be prepared to do that. But he's at the same time won't talk to the Israeli foreign minister. Hey, this shows an absence of clarity about who the bad actor is in the region. The demand for Israel to stand down and conduct ceasefires over the last 7 or 8 months would have left enormous power in Iran. And so, no, it's not remotely accidental that the fact that there's going to be a new leader in America, the team that will be put around President Trump will be serious about taking down risk for the United States, putting America first. And so you see the beginnings, the seedlings, the green sprouts of good things happening, more peace, more stability, more prosperity for people all across the region, including, as we began, an opportunity for the Iranian people as well.
Secretary Pompeo, as always, thank you for your time. Thank you for support and for being a member of the team here at the ACLJ. Folks, all of these issues, whether we're talking domestic, whether we're talking international, we are going to be working on at the ACLJ. Of course, we already are working on at the ACLJ, and our international offices are working on. But we need your support. This month is critical because we're able to base kind of the budget for the entire next year. As my brother Logan said, this month of December and the fundraising there for the ACLJ, your donations, make up close to a quarter of our entire budget in just the month of December. Now, this is a great time to donate because your donation will be effectively doubled. So you double the impact of that donation, whether it's a $20 donation or a $50 donation. You can do that today at aclj.org. We've got a big pro-life campaign that we want to launch, but we're going to need your support for it financially. This is something new. Logan's going to come in as well. aclj.org. We will explain to you and show you what we want to do at the ACLJ to save lives.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So we've been talking, of course, the issues at the FBI with Christopher Wray. And, of course, he has submitted his resignation that he'll leave before President Trump is in office because he was going to be fired. His replacement has already been named, Kash Patel. And I think, you know, there's not a better time to get someone like Kash Patel into the FBI or Pam Bondi at the Department of Justice because of this information we find out about January 6th. And, you know, you're told that you are a conspiracy theorist, even a dangerous conspiracy theorist, if you talk about it and even ask the question about how involved was the FBI on January 6th and were they just there really to watch the crowd and issue back reports about security status and why did we know that there were three, but now we find out there are an additional 23. By the way, none of them got charged, so it wasn't like the FBI said they were like doing it on their own accord and not acting as confidential informants. And why did Christopher Wray get away for so many years with saying that there were no agents involved, you know, in going into the Capitol? Is that agents are different than informants, and he would never really get to, you know, the bottom of the truth about, you know, trying to deflect. It's typical Washington that a week ago you could have gotten banned on social media for saying now what's in the headlines in mainstream media, and of course calls for more investigation, and we'll get that done if Kash Patel's there and Pam Bondi are there. So it ties up directly to those confirmation battles as well. I want to take a call on it. We're going to talk about some of these new efforts that we want to launch, brand new from the ACLJ. Logan's joining us in the studio live, but let me go to Linda first in New York on line two. Hey, Linda.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
On the topic of Christopher Wray, an abominable embarrassment to the United States of America since the day President Trump allowed him to stay in his position. He's been laughing at us ever since, and you can see it on his smirk every time he's being questioned on Capitol Hill. It's disgusting. And my prayer is that you guys get into the inside workings of all the. It's abominable what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, listen. What we're going to do is everything we can to help get the information out that people deserve, because you don't deserve to be called a nut, a conspiracy theorist, and then a report comes out from an inspector general confirming everything that you were being told you were a nut and dangerous for even thinking might have been the option. It's actually worse than what a lot of people thought. There were a lot more involvement with these informants, and you have to ask, what part, where were they? Like, did they help break the door down? Did they tell people, break the door down? Did they tell people, smack that cop, let's push through and encourage that kind of violence? That's the kind of info we need after an event where, you know, you've got people serving long jail sentences and you're called really a danger or threat to the country if you even ask questions about our institutions' involvement when you know that they were involved to a certain extent. And now we know it was an extent, it was up to 26 FBI-connected individuals. Are there more? I don't think that's going to come for Christopher Wray, and there's certainly more work we've got to do at the ACLJ with FOIA, and we'll get to you on that. I wanted to take that call. It's just important. We got to get the right nominees confirmed for these positions. That is a major battle that's coming up in Washington, D.C. Those meetings are already occurring in the U.S. Senate, but we have to be ready for those fights. Support our work, too, and our government affairs work at ACLJ.org. Now, Logan, I told people we want to do something new in the realm of fighting for life. Now that this fight has been, you know, taken out of Washington, D.C., and Roe versus Wade has been overturned, the fight has gone local, and it's gone to the states. And in some of these blue states, the fight is directly with pro-life, not activists, but pro-life even pregnancy centers that offer other solutions than abortion.
Right, exactly. Head on. And we get back from the next segment, I'm going to, so happy to premiere our new campaign, specifically based on that story you heard me tell over the summer when I was visiting Boston and we saw those, you know, horrific ads against pregnancy resource centers. My team has been putting together an incredible campaign over the last 5 or 6 months. And now we are ready to roll it out. First in Massachusetts and then, by God's grace and with your support, around the world. I can't wait for you to see it. It is filled with hope. It's filled with joy. And it's coming up in the next segment. So stay tuned. Of course, you can support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And I'm going to be tracking it today because today is the big fundraising day for this life-saving campaign.
to Seculo. We are taking your calls too, 1-800-684-3110. But we've got a new fight that we can engage in, the fight for life. You know these attacks. We've talked about it here. You know the lawsuits are continuing, and it's actually Massachusetts has to respond to our deadline today in court, where we represent a PRC, a pro-life pregnancy resource center, fighting back because of the way they have been described in these official ads that have been sponsored by pro-abortion organizations and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, using people's taxpayer dollars. And I mean, really defaming these pro-life pregnancy right. centers. And so, Logan, the idea here is that it's not just always about legislation. It can also be about the messaging, and they want to destroy these pregnancy resource centers and make them out to be places of evil or wrongdoing and act as if they're criminal.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Is back in July, I was in Boston walking around having a great day. I walked out of my hotel and this billboard struck me. It said, avoid anti-abortion centers. I thought, that's strange. I mean, it's not that, you know, you always hear pro-choice ads here and there. And then we saw that it was something run by the state, by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And we said, we got to do something about this, whether that's legally, but also in my heart, I knew we needed to take our own message to the streets. So we reached out to some of our friends in Massachusetts, found out that they were also appalled by what was happening there, that this did not represent even the values. They may be a very pro-choice state, but this did not represent the values of the people in Boston and in Massachusetts. So we've spent the last 6 months or so working on a brand new campaign, an outdoor ad campaign, a digital video ad campaign that is called Choice Begins Here. It is beautifully done. Our team has done an amazing job. It provides hope. You see their ads? Sadness. You know, sad faces, all this. You see our versions of this? It is completely opposite. It is to make sure people have the opportunity to visit pro-life pregnancy resource centers, to have a real choice in the matter. So we're going to see billboards. You're going to see advertisements. You're going to see digital billboards here and there throughout Massachusetts. And then you're going to have these video ads that I'm going to show you the preview of the very first one in just a minute. You're going to have these that are going to be running throughout social media. They're going to be running on television. You're going to be able to find them wherever. But actually, they only happen if you support this. And you may say, Logan, what about Massachusetts? Why do I care about Massachusetts? Well, that's just the start. That's the epicenter, if you will, because that is where the need is right now. But our goal, if you support this, is to take this across the country to all pro-choice, you'd say, states. States where abortion is still not only legal, but is running wild. And they're attacking places that are providing food for mothers, that are providing clothing for babies, that are providing obviously prenatal and postnatal services. There's always this lie that you hear from the left saying, oh, pro-lifers only care about babies when they're in the womb and then they're born and no one cares. And that is the exact opposite of what's going on at these pro-life pregnancy resource centers. We've worked with so many of them throughout the years. So we have developed a resource that people can go on to find a pregnancy resource center in their area, to contact people who are going to give them true options. Because you know, when you go into a Planned Parenthood, they're really only going to be pushing one choice. And that choice, of course, is abortion. Now with this, we decided, let's take this a very different way. Let's provide hope, provide light in the darkness, instead of these horrible options that you see from the left. And I'm really excited to premiere this. And after you watch this first sample ad, I'm going to tell you how you can support it. Because we have a lofty goal. Because to get outdoor ad campaign, to get videos put up, you know, you've seen them in bathrooms, you'll see them all over the place. This is not cheap. And by the way, this isn't really a traditional ACLJ fundraiser in the sense. So we are paying for this, but it's not like an ad for ACLJ. Go, you know, support, go donate. That's not the goal. The goal is to spread the good news of these mostly Christian pro-life pregnancy resource centers. They're doing amazing work in communities where it's needed the most. So take a look, the first look of the first ad for Choice Begins Here.
I'll never forget that day. Scariest moment of my life. I had just started my business, and then this. Pregnant? Really? I just thought about all of my dreams falling apart. I needed help, I needed answers. Places I heard of, they seemed to only offer one option. Then I found a pregnancy resource center, and they talked to me about my options. She listened, she actually cared about me. No shame, no judgment. I'll never forget that day either. The day that I realized maybe this wasn't the end of my dreams, but just the start of one I hadn't even imagined.
To find a pregnancy resource center near you, go to choicebeginshere.org.
And that is your first look, again, at our hopeful ad campaign to hopefully get more people to go to pro-life pregnancy resource centers to actually see that there are real choices, real hope. And, of course, they provide incredible amount of coverage, whether that, again, prenatal, postnatal, food, baby food, formula, clothes. They offer so much, and we've seen the amazing work they do. But the state of Massachusetts, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, is trying to shut them down. They're trying to say avoid them, ignore them. Pretend they don't, do not go to them. Here's a list. Their website is, here's a list of places to avoid. And of course, they also say, look for words like hope in the title. It says that on their website. So you know what they're pushing. But with Choice Begins Here, again, a project of the ACLJ, we're going to change the way pro-life activism is done. And we can do that as we head into this Christmas season with you. And I'm going to ask you for this because I know what the budget is because I just got off the phone and I have a call later today about the budgets that we have to spend to really blanket these cities. And it is lofty. Go back to me. I want to talk to people directly. It is lofty. Okay? So I'm going to tell you right now. To do this in just one market, it's $500,000. So again, you've showed up for me before when I've said that that is a number we needed. And I'm going to ask you right now to do it again. And what if we could do it today? What if we could do it in the next 24 hours? So I'm going to encourage you to go to aclj.org, or if you want to know more about the campaign, aclj.org/savebabies. You've heard about the Massachusetts deception they've been running, the mass deception as we've been calling it. But now it's time to turn the table and give hope to people who need it. And it is Christmas. And it is an important time for us to give back. And this is an incredible opportunity. And again, if it works, if this works, we're going to take it well beyond Massachusetts. We'll be coming to your home state if it's necessary. Obviously, we're going to pick out where it needs to go. And this is going to all start, by the way, in the first quarter of next year. So it took months to get all the pieces together. The billboard art, you know, the television ads, and there's still more to be created. And I can't wait to share even the more real stories that have come out of this that are going to blow your mind that only God could orchestrate. But right now, I'm going to encourage you to make that donation. I'm going to play the ad one more time. And during that, I'm going to ask you to make your donation. Go to aclj.org, or let's throw the QR code up, or scan that QR code right now. And then let's take a look one more time at our Choice Begins Here premiere ad.
I'll never forget that day. Scariest moment of my life. I had just started my business, and then this. Pregnant? Really? I just thought about all of my dreams falling apart. I needed help, I needed answers. Places I heard of, they seemed to only offer one option. Then I found a pregnancy resource center, and they talked to me about my options. She listened, she actually cared about me. No shame, no judgment. I'll never forget that day either. The day that I realized maybe this wasn't the end of my dreams, but just the start of one I hadn't even imagined.
To find a pregnancy resource center near you, go to choicebeginshere.org.
All right, folks, you heard directly from Logan about what it takes for us to make this happen. So we can, again, we for us to produce here, to put all the parts together, that's step one. It's done. I mean, it's ready to go. It can go as big as we're able to have the resources to put it. And as Logan said, if this is a success in Massachusetts, we're going to go to these other states that are targeting these pro-life pregnancy resource yep. centers that are they're trying to run them out of business, make them out to be these places of somehow illegal conduct, that they're doing something wrong and damaging and scary, and you have to stay away because they offer options other than abortion. And they, again, they're doing this in part and part. Remember, the state here, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and pro-abortion organizations are working together. Yeah. So they're sharing taxpayer money.
Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars to run their campaign. But we believe with a counter campaign, as you heard Logan say, to really do it in Massachusetts, it could turn on ready to go, you know, January 1, but it's going to cost $500,000 to do that, to really blanket the media and the people with different kinds of advertising. So are you going to be there when we need you the most? Again, to fight back for these pregnancy resource centers, you can go to aclj.org right now and donate. If you go to aclj.org/savebabies, has more about the campaign as well. You can donate to either of those places. Your gift will be doubled. $500,000. The quicker we can raise that, the quicker we can be in the next state and the next state. Go to aclj.org. Double your impact today to help save lives. Secule. People got calls in on the FBI as well. I want to go to that. We do want to underscore this new campaign that we want to launch, the ACLJ. It's ready to go. We've already previewed it for you here today. So we'll talk about that again in a moment, kind of what the facets are of that. We know it can be a big number to hear, and it's been a different kind of economy, but you're seeing, you know, the difference in already what a Trump potential, you know, presidency beginning in January has already done to a place like the stock market. Of course, that's not always immediate impacts, but the idea. So we are hoping again that you can help us launch what it would be new for the ACLJ in the sense of using these kind of resources to fight back. But it's also because in the past, the pro-abortion organizations and some of these pro-abortion state leaders certainly didn't like pregnancy centers, but they weren't really demonizing them. And now that Roe versus Wade has been overturned, it's like they've now turned their attention to the places that provide women other options than just killing their unborn child. So we'll talk about that in a minute again and kind of what that full scope means. But I do want to go to the phones with Lewis in Colorado on line one. Hey, Lewis.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering if Kash Patel would consider hiring the two whistleblowers and if they would consider coming back to the FBI and be put in leadership position.
You know, I don't know if Marcus Allen would ever want to go back to the FBI after what they put him through. I mean, he's still in the moment, as we talked to Tristan Levitt earlier this week from Empower Oversight, where they're still fighting over his back pay. I mean, most of it he's gotten now, but they're still fighting. I mean, so even after winning in court, getting your security clearance restored so that you can move on in the private sector and really move on with your life, but then getting the resources, the financial resources that were held back, still fighting for to this day. Now, I don't want to speak for them, but you know, with Garrett O'Boyle, we're still fighting in court. He hasn't gotten to that point yet that Marcus Allen did, where the FBI has settled and, you know, determined the back pay and his security clearance. So, could there be some interesting things there available, especially to provide advice? I think what you look for there, Lewis, is they may not want to go back inside the agency because, again, you might know that Kash Patel is going to be there for a handful of years, but then it's going to turn to the next, you know, who's next as president? Who do they put in? Is it somebody like Kash Patel, or is it somebody who turns into Christopher Wray and does exactly what the FBI didn't need, which is turn it more into a swampy and secretive and just bureaucratically run agency that he was happy to oversee and now run out of D.C., before the Republicans come in and before President Trump comes back to fire him. So I do think they could be useful in the sense of advisors. You know, how did this happen to you so that we can prevent this from happening to people in the future? So the idea itself, I think, is a good idea. And I think people like Kash Patel would be open to listening and hearing from those individuals who have gone through that process. Because when they're trying to clean up the FBI, they're going to be looking for whistleblowers to come to them. And if those people aren't protected by law and you can treat them differently as the FBI, which is how the law stands right now, then it's kind of tough to really encourage people to come forward when you, even as the director, can't protect them from potential real legal jeopardy, like their entire salaries and their lives and their jobs. So a great point there. It's something that we're going to watch very carefully. We're defending Garrett O'Boyle and others.
It'd be interesting to bring those people in also in like an advisory role, you know, somewhere just, yes, you know, briefly, you know, a contract or something like that. What doesn't happened, have to be an employee.
How did this, yeah. What happened to you and how did it happen to you so that you had to, you know, take on lawsuits Because you had a different idea, or you wanted to raise your voice as a whistleblower.
Yeah, I think about like Frank Abagnale, who was the master check forger who they made the movie about, and then eventually he wound up going to work for the government to help stop forgery.
Yeah,
because he was a mastermind at it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is on the whistleblower front, there's not a lot of protection for FBI for certain kinds of whistleblowers, and the government utilizes that protection. You know, to say this is security information, so they get put on this unpaid leave. So they hold over your head, well, if you quit, we're going to take away your security clearance. The money's gone. So you've got to stick with us through your entire review. And if we deem you, if you take us to court maybe and it's imposed or through settlement, that they move on. But yeah, certainly they have a lot to add in a different way now that there will be different leadership at the FBI. So it won't just be testifying to a Congress who feels for them. It will be also testifying, talking to and working with the FBI director who needs more of them to actually clean up the FBI. And Logan, to these points, these are big initiatives. I want to go back to the campaign in Massachusetts because just to let people know, putting the ads together, figuring out where to place them, and tell them how we got to that $500,000 number.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we've been working intensely with people in Massachusetts, different ad placement companies, the ones that will happily work with us, by the way. And there are some of these companies, and some are our partners, like at Salem, who were very emotional when we pitched this because they've seen these billboards. They've seen these ads, and they're defeated. These pro-life pregnancy resource centers do not have the funds to go and run a counter campaign like this. They don't have the resources to do it. Most of their staffs are volunteers. You know, many are really involved in the personal side of this. These aren't huge organizations. So when they heard about it, they were thrilled. And we were able to work with them as well as groups who specifically work with marketing to people who are in need of resources, pregnancy resources. And how do we talk to them? We don't talk to them with shame. We don't talk to them, with some sort of fire and brimstone. You talk to them to provide hope that they can go in, be heard, listen, be a part of that conversation, be presented with their options, and then hopefully, maybe get an ultrasound. Hopefully then make that choice for life. And you'll see some of the billboards. We can put some of those up that we're working on right now. You know, planned or not, we can help. Whatever you decide, we're here for you. You know, the Pregnancy Resource Centers. So it's a different kind of message. You've created a life. Help someone else create a family. So obviously that's one that's more aimed towards adoption. And they can do that. No shame, no pressure. Free services for people who care. And of course, this is showing a younger woman and what that would look like. Sacrifice today and shine tomorrow. There's so many great ones that are marketed towards professional women who are, because you're hearing that a lot. I saw just a disgusting campaign that ran that was specifically, hey, your life's destroyed because you got pregnant. Here's how you can fix it. And it broke my heart. So now we're able to do this incredible counter campaign. It is different. It is interesting. It is not typically what you see from the ACLJ, but that is why it's precisely needed right now. So again, I'm watching the fundraising come in. I'm seeing some of your response and it's amazing so far. Be a part of it. If we can raise that $500,000 today, who knows where we can take this next? And I know that sounds like a lofty number, but there's thousands of people that are watching right now. There's millions that will be listening later on. So I encourage you to go to aclj.org, or if you want to know more about the campaign, aclj.org/savebabies. You can also scan the QR code right now. Do it. We know if you're going to do it right now that you are there to say you support this initiative. So we encourage you to do it right now. The pro-life movement is changing rapidly. We are having to adjust and change as now is moved to the state level. And some of these states have gone so radical that we have to respond correctly.
Yeah. And so, folks, what you do, you go to aclj.org today, aclj.org or aclj.org/savebabies. You can use that QR code if you're watching right now. And you donate today. And if we get to that number, we're able to launch the full campaign in Massachusetts. The information is prepared. As Logan said, it's all been put together. And this is to fight back for those pregnancy resource centers. If we can do it in Massachusetts, we can take it to other states the pro-life viewpoint and these pregnancy resource centers who serve on the front lines of the movement to save lives are under attack. They really are. And we want to make sure this goes off in Massachusetts and that we can do it in other states. But we've got to have the resources to do this. As Logan said, this is new. It's not something we planned for a year ago that we necessarily need to launch as the ACLJ. So donate today at aclj.org. Double the impact of that donation. Critical time, aclj.org.